Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
End up in areas with the most...
You know, sometimes I think Satan, honestly, I think he just wants to try and destroy this service. And he works through every means that he can figure out. But that's okay, because the Lord's won the victory. It's not in question. This little video clip was just introducing the message of being the light. And the story was actually about this individual went off to college, was far away from home. And a family tradition that they had was that they would go into the neighborhoods by their home, and they would look at all of the incredible Christmas light decorations throughout their community. Boy, have you been in North Greeley? Have you seen the display off of 4th, it's 4th Avenue, isn't it? Incredible display. It's probably one of the most amazing in this whole region. And Lindy and I, we love to go there. We try to get there once a year to see that. But we love light. Light draws us to it. And certainly God loves light because he is the one who has created light. And Jesus emphasizes and reveals to us that he is the light. And so this evening, we focus upon light. And as amazing and incredible as all of these different light decorations are, last night Lindy and I watched the competition on TV. You ever watch that, where they go all over the country and they get four or so finalists and then they take you on a grand tour? It's incredible what people are doing with lights and the technology, if it works, that is here today. That can be used, and hopefully to the glory of God. But on this Christmas Eve, on that event outside of Bethlehem, we see the greatest light show of all. Can you imagine being there with the shepherds and just witnessing this event? And I'd just like to read this portion of the Christmas account again in Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Wow. So not only did they have the light show, as they saw the splendor and the glory of God revealed to them as the angel appears to them, but with the light came an incredible message, an announcement to the world for all time. You know, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there is the term Shekinah. And Shekinah means the splendor or the glory of God revealed through the light. And you think about the journey of God's people in the Old Testament. For instance, you think about the burning bush. There was an interesting light, wasn't there? And the bush was burning and Moses was approaching it, because what was strange about this bush burning is the fire wasn't consuming the bush. Can you imagine seeing that? And then Moses gets close to the bush and then he hears the voice of God, you know, say, "Remove your sandals, you are standing on holy ground." Or we go a little further into the history of God's people moving forward, and they were in slavery in Egypt. And remember, God delivered them miraculously out of Egypt, one of the most powerful nations and empires of its day, and God's people walk out of the land. And then remember, God was guiding them in the wilderness. And again, we see the Shekinah. We see the cloud, the bright cloud that they could follow during the day. The splendor and the glory of God being revealed to them. And then at night, there was the pillar of fire. And then we fast forward to the New Testament, even beyond this incredible event of our Lord's birth, Jesus during his public ministry. And remember when he took those three disciples, those apostles, Peter, James, and John, and went up on that mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. And oh, what an incredible event that was. And it's described this way with regards to Jesus. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Brilliance, Shekinah, God revealing his splendor and his glory in the very sun, the light who has come into the world, Jesus Christ. We are drawn to the light. I think one of the most amazing events I ever saw, and I never knew it would be unique, it was in Minnesota. And one night I was laying in bed trying to go to sleep. I happened to glance out the window by the bed, and there was this brilliant white cloud. And I thought, that's kind of weird. How can you see a cloud at night in all the darkness? But this was a brilliant white. Well, that got my attention. I got dressed, went outside, and there were brilliant white clouds just coming into view and then disappearing. And I thought, this is incredible. It's the one time that I thought perhaps the Lord was returning. But that was just the beginning. I drive out of this little community. It's in rural Minnesota, very dark. And then it happens. The entire northern horizon was just streams of light going to one point. And it wasn't colored light. It was a brilliant white light, and you could even hear the static. It was just amazing. And I thought, well, maybe this happens quite often in Minnesota. It's the only time that I think people have experienced that kind of event. And very few saw it. I was blessed to see it. But that got my attention. The light truly does draw us to it. And with the splendor of the light comes God's message. And the message here to the shepherds of all people is, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And what is that good news of great joy? But in Bethlehem, in this little town that you are close by, there is the Savior who is Christ the Lord, who has been born to you today. Can you imagine being those shepherds? They hear the announcement of good news, great joy. The Savior has been born. And he didn't come to a castle, and he didn't come as a brilliant king. But he comes as a little baby born in a stable. Boy, that is quite a contrast, isn't it? From the Shekinah, the glory and splendor of God being revealed. And then we have this humble little baby born in this very humble little town that was pretty insignificant of the day until after this event, of course. Now, virtually everybody, I hope, knows about Bethlehem. And would you ever imagine, of all the people that God would come to in this way, it's the shepherds. I don't think they were probably the best spokespeople by their trade. They were kind of, you know, loners, I would imagine, out there in the wilderness with the animals they cared for, didn't see a lot of people. But God does things in a very interesting way. And so the shepherds are all excited. They've seen the light, and now they want to go into Bethlehem and learn more about this light that has appeared to us. And it's interesting, in John's gospel, we don't hear the Christmas story, but we hear Jesus revealed in this way. And it's in the first chapter of John with reference to Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. And Jesus says himself later on in his ministry in the Gospel of John, I am the light. Wow, that's cool, isn't it? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a promise. Jesus says, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have life, you will have light. The shepherds, they run to Jerusalem. In fact, we hear they run in haste. It's not like, oh, what do you think, guys? Should we go there or not? No, it wasn't a haphazard thing. It was like, wow, we've seen this. We've heard the voice through the angel. We've heard this incredible message. Let's go check it out. Well, the question tonight for us, is that something that you would do? Or do you think you would have just stayed out there with the sheep and said, you know, I'm busy. I got a lot of things to do here. That was really a cool message, but I just don't really have time or want to make the effort to go there. But it wasn't the shepherds. They went with haste. They wanted to see this baby that was born. And we hear that they found Mary and Joseph and they found the baby lying in a manger. And can you imagine, they're the first messengers of this amazing announcement from heaven. They get to inform everyone there of what they have heard and the testimony that has been given about this little baby that has been born. And what an incredible time it was for these shepherds to be able to announce that this is the Messiah. This is the anointed one that we've been looking for as a church for hundreds of years, for centuries. God has promised the sending of the Messiah, the anointed one. And here the Christ, the anointed one, is in our midst, and we are blessed to see him with our own eyes. And it changed the shepherds' lives forever. What do they do after they leave Bethlehem? But they leave glorifying and praising God. So they become witnesses to the event and they announce it. And then they leave in a whole different frame of mind and spirit, glorifying and praising God. You see, the light changes hearts. The light changes lives. One of my favorite Christmas accounts in the epistles is Paul's letter to the Galatians, and it's Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. And we hear, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. This is really a big deal. This is a life and death issue in the balance. God promised a Savior, and the Savior came, and this God became man. Isn't that incredible? That he would become one of us, put himself under his own law, that we could be delivered from its condemnation. He is the Redeemer. He has purchased us with his shed blood at the cross. The wages of sin is death. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus laid down his life willingly. That's why he came. But we know that the darkness of death could not hold him. The powers of hell could not hold him. And if you come back on Easter, we celebrate it every day, but we'll focus on that event when Jesus rose again from the dead. He lives. The light shines now and forevermore. And so these shepherds were changed through Christ, who is the light of the world. God doesn't force himself upon anyone, by the way. The question is for us this evening, has he changed you? And only you and God can answer that question. Has he changed me? Only God and I can answer that question, because we're the only two that can see in my heart, as it is with each one of you. Jesus desires to change things. Have you changed? You know, we live in a world of darkness, and we don't have to look very hard to see the darkness. But how blessed we are that the Shekinah has come to us. God has revealed himself to us. We are witnesses. We weren't there with the shepherds, but don't you feel like you were? As they give their eyewitness testimony, and we are able and privileged to read about this event, it's like God draws us there, and it's not just like, but he does. And we too have experienced this through God's precious word as he shares it. They ran with haste to Bethlehem. The question for me tonight to you And I ask myself as well, where are you running with haste? Boy, it's a busy time of the year, isn't it? People are running everywhere. My goodness, Lindy and I were down to see two of our granddaughters in Denver, and we decided to just drop in at Park Meadows Mall. 45 minutes to get out of the parking lot. And people were in a hurry. They were honking horns. They were impatient. And as I was looking at that, I was just seeing darkness just feeding itself in the pool of people that were frustrated, impatient. It's what darkness is like. Where are you running with haste to in your life? It's an important question because we live in a very busy world. I would hope that it would be Bethlehem. And not that we're going to hop on a plane at DIA, fly to Israel, and then take a journey to Bethlehem, but meaning that we go to Bethlehem as we do tonight, that we go to God's Word, that we come to worship not just on Christmas Eve and other special events in the church here, but that our life would be a life of worship. Because that's what God has really called us and created us to do and to be. And oh, what a wonderful life it is. You know, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Isn't that incredible? The light who has come into the world says to the church, to the body of believers, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. It's really cool driving, you know, on Highway 60 off of 85. I can always pinpoint where Trinity is at night because we're up on the hill. And there's the big towers that are just south of us. I look for the towers. I think, that's cool. There's the light, and Trinity is right there on that hill. And that's the Lord's point. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? We all lit our candles tonight, and then we handed out coffee cups to cover up the light. Boy, that would be a pretty goofy ending to our service, wouldn't it? But people do that with Christ's light. Jesus said, instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. That's the purpose of the light, to shine forth and to enlighten others. And then here's the kicker that Jesus says. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. That's interesting. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So one of the greatest ways that we reveal the light of Christ, that we be the light, is by living in accordance to the light. That we be light-like. Christ-like in our everyday lives. A German atheist philosopher by the name of Nietzsche once said this, if he saw more redeemed people, he might be more inclined to believe their Redeemer. This guy's an atheist. But when he looks at people that say they're Christian, and he's observing their approach to life, their attitudes, his point is, they don't look any different than I do that doesn't believe in a Redeemer. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Because we are light. It's not to be hidden, but to live it so that others can see it, not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to God, the one who has given us this gift of light. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we gather here tonight, we know that one day the darkness of this world is going to end. Christ is going to return. And you talk about the Shekinah being revealed then, the splendor of God. Oh my goodness. And everybody will stand before the Lord. And the majority who stand before the Lord will have to confess his name, even though they rejected him to their time of death or while they were still living, if Christ returns then. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. I don't see the light in you. And they will be separated eternally from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that group. Because the light is everlasting. The light of Christ gives us life eternal. Remember Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we live the light. May we be the light. If somebody's out there trying to get road rage started, you know what light does? You just let them go and you pray for them. Because obviously something really stressful is going on in their life. And do you see what being the light in that simple situation can do? You may literally save a life. It may be your life. Just by instantly diffusing a situation that could instantly get out of hand. What an honor to be the light. May God guide you and me to Bethlehem, meaning to his word, to worship, to personal devotion, that we may grow and allow this flame burning in us that God gives us to flourish and to shine ever so brightly, bringing the glory to God. Be the light. In the name of the light, our Lord and our Savior, born as that little babe in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused in the light of Christ. Amen.